is a Gemara. The Gemara is in Krisis on Daf Vav, Amud Aleph, in our source sheet. Amar Abaye, Hashto de Amar Simona Milsehi. The Gemara goes through a few things that it says is considered to be a good sign. It says, now that you've said that Simona is Milsehi, there's something to it. Yeah, Ragil Inish Lemecho, Resh Shata, Kara, Rubia, Karate, Silk of the Tamre. A person should be Ragil to eat in the beginning of the year. Kara, Rubia, Kaite, Silka, and Tamre. These are all different types of fruits and vegetables. Rashi tells us, different Rashis in different locations, either these things, their names represent things, or they themselves, Rashi actually I don't think suggests that one, that the other Rishonim suggest that one, the nature of that they grow very fast, they have other types of symbolism to success, to growth. So that's why these specific fruits and vegetables were chosen. And we have the same exact Gemara comes up, almost same exact, in Horios, on Daf Yud Bezum and Aleph. Amar Abaye, Hashla de Amat Simana Milsehi, the only Miyai Rogyo Lemechaze, Lemechze, Bereshata, Kara Rubia Kaite Silka Vitamre. The Girsa in Krislus is Lemechal, to eat. If you notice, the Girsa in Horios is Lemechze, to see. And on the side of the Gemara, I'm sure, in the Oz Vahadar, it says in the Hagos Tzionim on the side that there are different Girsos in each Gemara, in the manuscripts of the different Gemaras, about what the proper word is. But we see from the two Girsos that there are two possible inyanim here. Either to eat the simanim, or to see the simanim, bring them to the table. The truth is, if we look at other sources a little bit later, this is the Gemara's sources, if we look a little bit later to the sources of the Gaonim, the Tshuvos HaGaonim, I think if we read them carefully, so we'll see that these two traditions seem to have continued into different regions. Let's take a look first at the Tshuvos HaGaonim that starts with the word Nimtza. That would be the fourth source on the sheet. Nimtza Kasav the Igeres Rav Matzliach Bar Eliyahu Min Sekriya Shenichnas El Rabbeinu Hai. This Rav once came to Rabbeinu Hai Gon, one of the last Gaonim, Bimei Rosh Hashanah, Umatzu Ba Mibeis HaKnesses V'Talmidav. He was Ba Mibeis HaKnesses V'Talmidav Acharav. He went home with his Talmidim. Umeviyin Lefanav Duluin. Some type of gourd. Pool HaMitzri. That might be the black eyed peas. One of the vegetable, not the other black eyed peas. V'Karshin U'Tmarim V'Trajin. Umine Peros V'Tratskil. They were all in a big, big basket. They brought it in front of Rav Haigon, Udvash, Afuna, Upashat Yada with Galas. He stuck his hand out to one of the vegetables, the Omar, and he said, Kara, Kira Rola Gazar Dinenu. Next one, Rubia, Yisrab Uzuchiosenu. And continued on and on with each one. The Talmidim Notman Korecha Viechad Mina Traskil, they each took from this basket, Mina Omar B'inyan Labesam. The Osim came, the Garcinim Besof Orios, like it says in the Gemara. You see, Rabbeinu Hai didn't eat anything. What did he do? They brought it in front of him. He stretched out his arm, and he said the statement that needed to be, that was shayach to be said over that specific vegetable, that specific fruit. But that was one tshuva that had to do with the practice of Rabbeinu Hai. If we look at the other tshuvas to go on, I mean, this tshuva, as I wrote in the brackets, was a tshuva that was sent to the Jews in Eretz Yisrael. Normally, tshuvas go'onim was where? Where were the go'onim? In Bavel, right. Rav Haigon was in Bavel. Rosh Hashiva, Sura, Pomedisa, these yeshivas. That was in Bavel. We have a tshuva from the Gaonim who lived at the time in Eretz Yisrael. We know that those were the two major communities at the time. Bavel and Eretz Yisrael. And they had different minhagim. There are those who suggest that Ashkenaz and Sfard followed, that Ashkenaz followed the minhagim of Eretz Yisrael and Sfard followed the minhagim of Bavel. That's a theory that historians suggest in not trying to understand the progression of halacha. So in the tshuvas of Gaonim, what do we hear? They apparently received a letter from a faraway diaspora community accusing them of doing certain things that were superstitious. Nichosh. So they said, Shechakaktem, Shanu Nochshim Nechishos. You claim that we're doing some superstitious behavior. Shanu Regil Nikach Rashi Kvasim Rosh Hashanah, V'Ochlim Dvash, V'Chom Yine Mesika, V'Ochlim Tisnei Imbasar, Shamein. We eat these different foods, fat meat, honey, the Ochlin Rubia, which is Pul HaMitzri, the Karte, the Anushochten Tani Golas Berg Yom HaKippurim, Zen Yichosh Tovhu, the Rubo Miyusar HaMikra VaHagados. Most of this is based on psukim, it's based on midrashim. This is not bad nichosh, this is good nichosh, whatever that means. We'll have to see. He says, Al Rashay Kvasim Shanu Ochlin, and on that sheep's head that we eat, today, why do we do it? That's why we do it. What about we eat all these sweet tasting things? So what is nechasenu, our property, to rubia, that'll be as numerous as rubia. What do you see in this Shuvah Sagonim? They didn't just bring it to the table and look at it. What were they doing? They were eating it. So we see that these two girsos in the Gemara, Lemachse or Lemecho, seem to have manifested themselves in the next generations in the time of the Gonim, where we have some communities that are eating and some communities that are just looking and saying things. In fact, I found in the Sefer Zecher LeDavid, which is put out by Rav Yaakov Hillel recently, they put out a bunch of Svarim from this Rav, the Zecher David, who was the Svardi Rav who lived in Modena, Italy. He was the leader of the community there, the Svardi community there. So he said that he allowed people in Paskin that it was okay. Certain people had the minhag and they came to him to ask if it was a justifiable minhag, that they have a minhag from their forefathers to hang the simanim from the ceiling during the meal, to hang them up around the room. So we see exactly where that comes from. That comes from this other tradition. Not to eat the simanim, but to see the simanim, to bring them to the table. And therefore he passed in that it was okay for them to continue with that minhag. Now the Sefer Mishmeres Yomim Noraim, Rav Karp, who put out a Sefer, he put out Sfarim on all the Yom Tovim, so he also put out a Sefer, the Mishmeres Yomim Noraim, and Rav Simon, Rav Baruch Simon, directed me towards the Sefer. The Mishmeres Yomim Noraim suggests that these two traditions of eating versus seeing may be connected to another area of halacha, or another area of minhag that's connected with the simanim. If you take a look at the next source on our sheet that quotes from the Torah quotes this minhag, and he says, Amar Abaye, Hashka de Amar Tzimanim Milsehi, the Anish Rogi Lamechav Re Shata, Asroga, Kare Rubia, Kaiti Silke, Tame Rubia, and he gives the reasons why. Kol Makam Umakam Lefim in Hago, Kimova Ashkenaz, like in Germany. Shirigilim Lacho Vitzkilas Asuda, Tapuach Matok, Vidvash, Lomar, Tetzchade Shalenu Shana Mitsuka. So according to the Torah, do you say anything, or you just eat it? It's a trick question. The answer is that according to the Torah, you don't say anything. He doesn't say anything about saying a Yiratzon or anything like that. What does he mean in that last line when he says Lomar? That doesn't mean that you should say that. It means that by eating it, that is to say Lomar. Now you got to read carefully. When you eat the apple in Dvash, Lomar, we do that to say, it's a statement of that we should have a sweet year. Not that you should say Shana Tova Masukah. And sure enough, the Torah, when he brings down all of these minhagim, all of all these different fruits and vegetables, it doesn't say anything about any statements that you should make. However, if you look in the Abu Draham, who brings down different minhagim, oftentimes brings down a lot of Sfardi minhagim, but also our minhagim, the Ashkenazim in the room. Amar Abaye. Hashtag the Amart, Simana Milsehi, Rugal Inish, the Maxe, Bereshat, the Kari Rubia, Karte, Silka, Tamre, Simon, Karkasta, that's a mnemonic for the different vegetables and fruits. And then he says, the Omrim al Dalas, Kara, Yikra Gazar Denanu, the Apur Rubia, we say, Yerbazuchu Yosenu, the Yesh Omer Belosh and Hiratzon. There's some people who even say Hiratzon. So what do you see according to the Abu Jaham? You're supposed to say something. So the Mishmeres Yom Noraim says that, you know what? Maybe the reason why we have a machlokas about whether you're supposed to say something or not say something is connected to the other issue that we brought up. If you have the minhag to eat the fruits, so you're doing something with the fruits. You have an action. You have, bring the fruits to the table, you eat them. So the eating is an act of saying, like the Torah said, we should have a sweet new year. We're eating an apple. It's like, you know, you lift up your beer mug and you say to a good year, help the year, and then down the hatch. And that's it. That's the bracha. So same thing. You take your apple, you dip it in the honey, you bang apples, you say l'chaim and eat your apple. That's how you do it according to the Torah. That's why it doesn't say anything about yehirat stones or saying any statements. But according to the other minhag that we saw, that what are you doing? You're not saying anything. What are you doing? You're just bringing it to the table. So according to him, that you have to say something because it's just sitting there. What are you going to do? You have to do something. So if you're not eating it, so we say something. Here at Sona, we should have a sweet new year. Like we saw Rabbeinu Haigon put his hand out. Sure enough, if you look carefully, and this is where it's beautiful, if you look carefully back at the Torah and the Abu Jaham, look how they each quote the Gemara. It works out perfectly. The Torah quotes, look in the beginning, Amar Abad Hashtadam Atzimana Milsahi, Yeranish Rogil, where? The Mechal. He quotes the Gemara that says the Mechal. So that's why he says, you don't say anything, because you're eating it. And what does the Abu Jaham quote? The Mechze, to see. And that's why he says, you should say Yehiratzon. And Mamish works out perfectly with how they quote the Gemara. The one who quotes to eat, so he says, you don't have to say any Yehiratzon. And the one who says to see, so he says you should say Yehiratzon. This is the suggestion of the Mishmeres Yom Naran. It's a very beautiful understanding of some of the Rishonim. Sure enough, it works in a lot of Rishonim. I just saw the Kolbo right before the Shir. The Kolbo, sure enough, he says the Girsa of Lamechal, I believe it is, and then he says you don't have to say anything. Or it might be Lehefa, but he's consistent with the Girsos. As we're going to see a little bit later, there might be a reason to say Yehiratzon no matter which Girsa you hold up. But that's simple, basics. That's the Simanim. The question that all of the Achronim and even some of the Rishonim ask about the Simanim is a major question, and that is, how is it mutter to do the Simanim? Isn't this an Isser of Nichush? The Pasuk tells us in Vayikra, Perek Yud Tes, Lo Sochu al Adam, Lo Senachashu, Lo Seonenu. Torah forbids us from engaging in superstitious behavior. Behavior that doesn't seem to have a reason. Magical, mystical behavior where we think that we do special hocus-pocus things and it's going to bring us salvations from God. In fact, that Shuvah from the Gaonim that we quoted, that was exactly the claim that they were responding to. People wrote to them and said, we hear that you're doing Nichush. They included things like looking at your fingernails, at Havdalah, sticking your finger into wine. They asked them questions about all these things. Sure enough, the Gaonim responded and explained why they did all these different practices. But the claim against them, the charge, was you're doing Nichush. You're acting superstitiously. And that is prohibited by this pasuk. The Gemara in Sanhedrin and Daf Samachay, the next source, I'm not going to read all the sources inside, but the Gemara in Samachay discusses what exactly Nichush is. Tanu Rabbanon, Menachesh, what does that mean? Zehe Omer, Pito Naflo Mipiv, Matlo Naflo Miyado. This is someone who says, as I was walking out of the house to go to a business deal, a bird flew by, and as he was flying by, he dropped bread out of his mouth. That is a bad sign. I'm not doing this business deal. As you're walking out, a certain type of animal walks on your right side, or a black cat passes on your left side, or you walk under a ladder. These things, those specific examples aren't brought, but he brings a nachash on your right side, a shul on your left side, a fox on your left side, or the tax collector comes to collect the taxes, and you say to him, don't start with me, start with someone else, it's bad luck, don't start with me. So the Gemara says all of these things are an isser of nichush. And this is why all the Rishonim say, so why are we allowed to eat the Simanim on the night of Rosh Hashanah? Eating the Simanim, we think that by eating the Simanim they're going to give us some type of good luck? Well, what is this? Now the truth is that the sugya of Nichush is not so pashut, because we have a very, very fascinating Gemara in Chulin that seems to imply that certain Amorayim themselves engaged in practices of Nichush. Chas v'shalom. Let's see, what does the Gemara say? The Gemara says in Chulin, Rav, Rav was once on his way to his son-in-law of Chanan. As he was getting to the river, sure enough, a boat just happened to stop by right at that second. Omar, he said, look at that, a boat just arrived. I'm going to have a good day today. That is a good sign for a good day. He finally got to his son-in-law's house, he knocked on the door, Obek Babizza, the Dasha, Chazit Chiyusa, the Tayyah. When he got to the door, he looked into the house and he saw an animal hanging from the ceiling that they were in the process of preparing to eat the meat. Talk, Ababa, Nafok, Asu Kuri Amala, Ape, they saw him at the door, everybody came out to greet him. Also, Tab Chenami, and even the butchers came out so excited to see Rav, they all ran out. But this Gemara is brought up in the middle of the Sugya of Basar Masalim and Ayan. There is a Sugya about meat, if you have meat that's revealed, meaning it's revealed is really not a good word, meat that is uncovered and you lose your Wow, the English kids are really not coming tonight. You lose your, you're watching the meat. And you walk out of the room and you leave the meat by itself in the room and there's nobody watching the meat. The Gemara posits that you're not allowed to eat that meat anymore. That's the halacha. Today, nowadays, before you paskin based on that, so it's not so pashut today how we paskin in that sugya, so you have to ask a posek regarding that. But anyway, Rav is standing there at the door. Everybody comes out to greet him, including the butchers, come running out with their butcher knives and outfits, and they leave the meat hanging by itself in the room. So, Nafak Asu Kol Yamalape, they all came out to him. Asu Tavche Nami. Lo Olam Rav Eni Mine. Rav, who was a halachic person, so even when they're all running out to greet him, he realized that they were all running out and leaving the meat by itself, so he kept his eye on the meat the whole time, to make sure that no one looked away from the meat. Amar Lahu, and he turned to the butchers, and he greeted them and said, Yichu Ashtas, Afizu Yisur Lebei Barsa. Thank you very much. You're going to serve tarfos to my whole family, because you ran out and left the meat by itself. Lo Ochel Rav Me'ahu Bisra. Gemara ends that Rav didn't eat from the meat. Gemara asks, my time, why didn't he eat from it? If it's because he wasn't looking at the meat, hello yelling, he didn't look away. No one looked away. Everyone else looked away, but he kept his eyes on it the whole time, the Gemara says. So why didn't he eat the meat? So the Gemara says, Ela de Nachash. You know why he didn't eat the meat? Because he started off the day, Rashi tells us, with Nichash. He started off the day by saying, this is going to be a good day. And it was. He got there, there was a huge steak hanging from the ceiling of the house. So he didn't want to eat it because of the nichosh, that maybe because he said he was going to have a good day, that's why he was getting this really great meat meal. So then the Gemara says, but Rav himself holds, kol nichosh, she'eno ke Eliezer Eved Avram, uki Yonasan ben Shaul, eno nichosh. Any nichosh which is not like Eliezer Eved Avram, and like Yonasan ben Shaul, is not nichosh. We'll have to see what that limitation is. The Gemara says, "Oh well, you know what? Sudas Rishus have the Rav Lo Mitani is Sudas Rishus." You're right. The reason he didn't eat from it was a Sudas Rishus. It wasn't a wedding. It wasn't a siyum. And Rav did not eat in public with other people unless there was a mitzvah connected with the meal. That's the end of the Gemara. So, very, very important. First of all, we see Rav is seemingly doing something that's a little superstitious. But then the Gemara tells us a very, very important qualification. What is that? Any nichush which is not like Eliezer, or is not like Yonasan, is not nichush. What is the Gemara referring to? The Gemara is referring to, we all know that when Eliezer was sent to find a wife for Yitzchak, so he said before he went out, what did he say? He said, I don't know, I want to have to check out every single girl in town, so what am I going to do? I'm going to come to the well, knew what's going to happen, and the girl who... I know it's almost been a year since this parsha, but knew what happened? Anyone who offers water to me, but offers to feed my animal, my camels first, that's the girl that's going to be for my master. What's Yonasan? What was the case with Yonasan? What did he do? He was walking with his sidekick, with his servant, and they came across an enemy camp, and he said, you know what? Let's just take on this whole camp, just me and you, let's just kill all of them. Well, let's see. We'll walk up to them. If they come towards us, so then we'll do this. And if they back away, then we'll do that. That's what happened with Yonasan. Sure enough, they ended up attacking the camp. So, I believe. So what? What is the Gemara telling us? What does that mean? Any nichush which is not like that is not nichush. We'll have to see. The Gemara continues and says, Rav was badik for Mavra. As we see, Rav, whenever he wanted to know if he was going to have a good day, he went out to the river to see if there was a boat coming. Shmuel Badik the Sifra. Shmuel used to open up a sefer and say, should I go? Well, let's see. It says, V'asisa Sakroshim. V'asisa, okay. He used to look at the Psukim and try to figure out from the Psukim what he should do. And if Yochanan was Badik the Yanuka, he used to go over to a young child and say, Nu, what Pasuk are you learning right now? The kid would say, what Pasuk? And he would learn from there. The Gemara ends up at the end and says, Bayis Tinok V'isha, Apa Pishay Nichosh Yesh Simen. There isn't nichosh, but there's something called simen. This is the end of this very perplexing Gemara. All of the Rishonim deal with this Gemara and try to understand what exactly is nichosh and what's not nichosh. The Gemara in Sanhedrin told me that anytime I do the superstitious behavior, it's nichosh. And now the Gemara in Chulin seems to be telling me that all these Amoraim are doing this funny behavior. So the Gemara says, and the Gemara itself tells us, that it has to be nichosh like Eliezer and like Yonasan. So what does that mean? So if you look at Rashi, Rashi on the spot says, Somech Olav Mamish, Keliezer Eved Avram. The Ran, a little bit more verbose, usually, than Rashi, So the Ron explains a little bit more, and he fleshes out what exactly Rashi is getting at. The Ron says that when your actions are completely based on the Nichush, so then it's Aser. For instance, if you say, I'm going to walk out to the river. If the boat comes, I'm going to go visit my son-in-law. And if the boat doesn't come, I'm not going to go. That would be Nichush. And Rav didn't do that. What did Rav do? Like all the Rishonim, you realize, are going to have to look at the Gemara in Sanhedrin, and look at the Gemara in Chulin, and make a chiluk between the Gemaras, in order to explain what's the Isser Nichush, and what's allowed. Because we are assuming that the Amoraim are doing what's allowed. So, they all, the Ron, Rashi, and many other Rishonim explain that the difference is when you're Somech Mamish versus not Somech Mamish. When you say, like I just said, if this, then I'll go. And if not, then I won't go. That is Nichush. But if a person just says, I'm on my way anyway, and a boat's coming, Baruch Hashem, I'm going to have a good day today, that would not be included in the Isser of Nichush. This is what the Ron says. And we're not going to have time to go into the Ron completely right now, but the Ron goes through the whole Gemara. He discusses Eliezer, because everyone should be asking, Tosfos asks on the spot, well, what about Eliezer and Yonasan? They were doing the Isser of Nichush? Very nice, you saved the Amorayim. But what about Yonasan? What about Eliezer? What are you going to do about them? So Ron discusses them, and he saves them. You can take a look at the Ron on location right there. It's a very beautiful Ron. He discusses Rav Yochanan and Rav and Shmuel and each one of their behaviors. And he says, like we just said about Rav, Rav was going to go anyway. He wasn't making his decision based on this. It's just that when he saw it, so he said, oh, it's a good day. And that's where the Gemara first says, oh, it's Nichush. And the Gemara says, no, it has to be like Eliezer. It has to be like Yonasan. It has to be complete. Now, if a person takes a look at the Rambam, which is on our source sheet, so you see that the Rambam, when he quotes the Gemara, quotes it very, very carefully. And he makes sure to make this distinction in his words. Look at the Rambam in Hilchos Avodos Tochovim. Ein menachashin ka'akum, shenemar lo tenachashu. You can't do nichush. Ka'akum, that little added word, ka'akum, may be a hint by the Rambam of the reason of why nichush is up. Ketzad. Ketzaru anacha anichush. Kegon elu sheomrim, ho'wil, important addition, ho'wil v'nifla piti mipi, since my bread fell, o nafo ma'akli miyadi, eini holech lamakom pleni hayom. If you take a look back at the Mishnah, that's not what the Mishnah said. The Mishnah said, I'm sorry, not the Mishnah, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, which was describing for us what the Isser of Nichush is. It said, someone whose makel falls. What does the Rambam say? Not someone whose makel falls, that's Nichush. If your makel falls and you say, this is bad luck, that's not how the Rambam writes it. What does he say? Someone who says, since it fell, so I'm not going to go because it's not going to be a good day for me. And I want to keep moving, but if you take a look throughout the Rambam, so he's very, very careful. And look to the second to last line. Kol ha-meisim simanim la'atzmo, im ye'ero li'kach v'kach, es se'dover ploni. If X happens, then I'll do Y. V'im lo ye'ero li lo ese, ke'eliezer evad Avram, v'chein kol kiyotzi b'dvar ma'elu, ha'kol aser. V'chol ha'osa meisim epi dover ha'midvarim elu loka. So that's how the Rambam paskins. So, this answers our question, primarily, of why the simanim are not usher because of nichush. Because nichush is only if I would say, I'm going to do this, if X happens. And that's not what we're doing on Rosh Hashanah. We're taking an apple and honey, we're eating it, and it's like Rav. We're already going into the year. We're going to have a great year. We're going in, and we're eating that apple, and we're saying, this is a good sign for a good year. This is what the Gemara ultimately means in this last line, when it says, nichush is a problem. But Simon is okay. All right, so what have we got so far in the shir so far? We've explained a little bit behind the girsos. We've explained why the simanim are not usher because of nichush. Fine. But we still have the major question, which we all want to know is, okay, so I know what it's not, and I know that it's not usher. But Lamaisa, what is it? What am I accomplishing by eating an apple? We already saw, based on the Rambam, based on the Sugya of Nichush, we don't really think that if I eat the apple, I'm going to have a good day, and if I a good year, and if I don't eat the apple, I'm going to have a bad year. If you think that, Lashon of the Marsha, is that you're giving over Shlita to the co-host of the world. You're saying, it's not up to Hashem, it's up to me eating this apple. If I eat the apple, I have a good year. And if I don't eat the apple, I'm not going to have a good year. This is something which is Lo Hegyoni, the Magen Mishnah says. It's something that doesn't make sense, and therefore, it's usher to do. But that's not what we're doing again. We're not saying if. We're saying we're having a good year. Sanu, what do we accomplish? What are we trying to accomplish by eating the simanim? So I can't share with you every single suggestion that's brought down, but I chose a couple of them, three or four of the suggestions that are brought down by the Baalei Machshava, by the Baalei Halacha, who discussed this issue, in order to try to understand a little bit of what we're trying to accomplish. And I hope that for all of us in the room, for tomorrow night, we'll be able to approach it with the proper perspective. Number one, the Marsha in Horios and Increases. So based on what we've said about Nuchah, she says that when Hashem, and the Rambam writes like this in his Hakdama, it's the Perusha Mishnah, when Hashem promises to do something good, so it's going to come true. If Hashem has a decree that something bad can happen, that's not necessarily going to happen to you. Why not? Because you can do tshuva, you can daven, you can do mitzvos, you can change a bad decree. But good decrees, in general, those come true. And in fact, he adds, and this is from the Rambam and Mor Nevuchim, in fact, he adds, that the truth is no bad really comes from Hashem. Everything that Hashem does is good. Oh, what about all the suffering? So the Rambam has an explanation of why there's evil in the world if everything that Hashem does is good. And therefore, he says, when we do a simen that shows Hashem's goodness, we eat an apple and we say, this is going to be a great year. This is going to be a sweet year. The Marsha says it's a statement of bitachon. It's a statement of amuna. That we know that it's, if we do our part on Rosh Hashanah, if we daven, if we do tshuva, so it's going to be a good year. And we lift up that apple and we eat it symbolically to show our bitachon that we know that this is going to be a good year. Because once Hashem goes, there's something good, so he doesn't change that. And he says, if Chas V'Shalom, we would do some type of bad sign, that this is going to be a bad year, so he says, then that, like we said a few minutes ago, that's giving over kochos to other forces in the world, as if I can't change things by my davening. I can't change things by my tshuva. And therefore he says, we eat the apple and the honey, we eat the different simanim, in order to create, this is how I saw one of the Achronim say it, and I like saying it like this, in order to create an environment at the table of bitachon. And the truth is, it works out beautifully with one of the earlier sources we saw, the Tshuvas Ka'onim. He quotes at the end the pasuk from Ezra, Achlu Mashmanim Mishtumam Takim. This pasuk is brought that when the Klal Yisrael finished their tshuva process, the Navi says to Klal Yisrael, return to your homes, have a feast, go home and celebrate, because Hashem has already listened to your tefillos. And this is how we're supposed to approach the day of Rosh Hashanah. With Kovid Rosh, with seriousness on the one hand, but on the other hand, with the confidence that we know that if we turn the MS to Hashem, we cry out to Him, we do tshuva, Bein Ish Lechavero, Bein Adam Lamakom, we sincerely try to do tshuva, so we know that Hashem will give us that year that we're looking for. And we eat the simanim in order to create that environment. That's what the Marsha says. The same suggestion is actually brought down in the page of the Shulchan Aruch by the Chachma Shlomo, the Marshal. He also makes this suggestion. And he says, therefore, I think this is the reason behind a minhag, which I don't think we have nowadays, but apparently in the times of the Marshal, 1500s, they had a minhag that when they left Shul on Rosh Hashanah night, they would say to each other, Kol man de'ovid, Rachmana, v'tav ovid. Whatever Hashem does, it's for the best. Gamzu l'tova. And the Chachma Shlomo, the Marshal says, this works perfectly with the Marshal's explanation. If the whole idea of the simanim is that we want to create an environment of bitachon, of amunah, that we're going to have a great year, so it makes perfect sense that when we walk out of shul, we say to one another, Gamzu l'tova. Everything that Hashem does is for the best. That's the explanation of the Marshal. Another explanation. Unless you think that the simanim are all about deep, deep mystical secrets, which I'm sure there are also mystical ideas behind it, but lest you think that that's all the simanim are about, no one less than the Shla. And if you know anything about the Shla is not necessarily the safer to look if you're looking for a rationalist explanation to a mitzvah. The Shla's Sfarim are deeply, deeply steeped in Kabbalah and mysticism. And that's why I put the Shla on the page, because you have to listen to the Divrei HaShla. What does he say? L'chori yesh v'hakshos, b'mashe kasev rubya. What does it mean, rubya? Yirbu zuchiyosenu. We eat this because it's going to be marbe zuchiyosenu, from the Lashon Rubya. Emes ki Lashon Rubya moral yirbu. It's true that rubya does sound like yirbu. Who said that our zuchuyos are going to be marbe? We say karti, and then what do we say? I think, what's karti? Anyone know? Leeks, right? So, I think it's leeks. So, Karti, the Lashon, what do we say? Yichrisu Sonenu. Our enemies should get cut off. So what does the Shlach say? Very nice. I see Yichrisu in Karti. But who said Yichrisu Sonenu? Maybe Chas V'Shalom Kares. Maybe us, Chas V'Shalom. Who said it's going to be cutting them off? Maybe cut us off. Where do you see Yichrisu Sonenu, he says? Ella ha'inyinhu she'ein shul remez ba'achilas ha'pri. There's nothing to eating the fruit. There's no remez in the fruit itself. La kapri hu simin, she yizkor ha'adam the yisorer b'tshuva. The fruit, the vegetable is there to send us a message, to remind us to do tshuva. The yispara ha'adavar zeh. Ratzoni lomar, kishemesim ruba al shulchana, when I put ruby on my table, the achlu, asulo lamaski, she spiral, she yubizichu senu. It's a reminder for us that this is what we should daven for. This same approach, let me just read the last line of the shla. Klau ha'ola, ha'ikr hu ha'tfila. The ikr is tfila. Udvarim elu, these fruits and vegetables, haim lamaskir ulahisorel milmala. They're in order to create an historus. In order to create some type of, to be maskier to us. Now it is possible to read into the Shla a Hesoris above, not just a Hesoris down here. It's Mesoris us down here, but it's also Mesoris something above. Granted, you could read it like that also, but clearly the Shla says the Iker is Tzfilah. The same exact approach is actually suggested by one of the Rishonim. The Meiri in the Gemara says, on our Gemara in Krisus and in Horios, the Meiri says the entire idea behind the fruits and vegetables has nothing to do with acts of eating, and therefore you probably can get by without eating, and you can just look at it like the other girsa, and even if we didn't have the other girsa, you still can do it. Just look at it if you really want to, if you don't like how it tastes, because it says the ikar is the tefillah, the tshuva, what it reminds us to do. And listen to this, because this is gorgeous. The Meiri says that is why specifically they put it into the meal. You know why? Because Yontif, like Rosh Hashanah, is a day of focus, of tshuva. But what's the one time in the day that it's easy to lose focus? It's when you sit down to the table, and out comes the first course, and then the second course, and then the steak, and then the chicken, and then the dessert, and there's wine, and there's ale, whatever else you're having at your meal. So you have all these different things. I'm an old-fashioned guy, you know? So you have all these different foods, and what happens when you start eating the food? You forget about the focus of the day. Because we all know, you could be having a really, really focused day, and all of a sudden it starts to eat, and the food, the gashmiya, so it starts to pull us away. And the Meiri says, that's why they put it into the meal, to remind us, don't lose focus. And you know how we'll remind you? We'll take the etzem food, and we'll turn it into an avoda of tshuva. Oh, you're going to eat rubya? Don't forget, you've got to be davening for your zechuyos this year. So everything that we do during the meal, it's in order to start off the meal, to have us focused. And the Meiri adds one last beautiful point. This is one of the Meiris you got to remember. There are a couple of classic Meiris. This is one of the classic Meiris. The Meiri says that's the reason why we added the Hiratzon is in order, only in order to remind us that it has no magical powers with the fruit. You can't eat a bunch of fruits and vegetables and go to heaven on a few fruits and vegetables and do whatever you want during the year and waste away Rosh Hashanah. We say the Yihi Ratzon to remind us that it's not about the food, it's about the Yihi Ratzon. Agav, while we're mentioning the Yihi Ratzon and the fruits and the vegetables, so we have to realize that when it's time for the Simanim, there are lots of discussions about which fruits we're supposed to eat first. I think, I'm not 100% sure, Pilate told me that in the Art Scroll Siddur, it gives you first the Borei Pri HaEitz on the apple. But those of us who have learned through Maseches Brachos, Hilchos Brachos, we know that the first bracha you should probably be making is on the tamarim. Why? Because it's one of the Shiva Saminim, exactly. If you have a Rimon, then you're going to have to start looking which one comes first, the Rimon or the Tamar. That we have to see which one comes closer to the word Eretz in the Pasuk. So they're important halachas we have to keep in mind also. We also have to make sure that when we make the bracha, we eat the fruit first before we say the Hiratzon. Even though there are those who try to justify the practice of people saying the Hiratzon before eating the fruit, probably al pi dinei the Shulchan Aruch, it's more proper to make the bracha, eat the fruit, and then say the Hiratzon. And we should remember, and this is true about challah as well, whenever we make a bracha and then we eat food, we don't just put it in our mouth and then, you know, Everyone always thinks of something really great to say right after they finish washing. And then you're holding and waiting for the bread to come to you. And as the bread goes into your mouth, you start to say what you want to say. You have to swallow. You have to chew and swallow some food before you start talking. So it's important that we do that, that we eat the simanim slowly. It's not safe to talk with your mouth open or polite anyway. So you eat them first, and then you say the hirotzon. Levaisa, that was the me'iri, that was the shla, to be mesorah aras and tshuva. I want to share with you one last approach, and then we're going to get out of here. And that is the approach of the Maharal. The Maharal is a very, very beautiful explanation of what we're trying to accomplish with the Siman. The Maharal quotes the Ramban. Many of us are probably familiar with the concept of Maisa Avos Simin Labanim. The Ramban talks about this a lot in Sefer Bereishis. I'm not sure if we all necessarily understand the Amkus of what that means, and we're not going to get into that completely. But the Maharal quotes the Ramban in Bereishis and Lech Lecha, Sefer Bereishis, Parshas Lech Lecha, where the Ramban says that whenever Hashem has a gezerah that he wants to be, a good gezerah to Klal Yisrael, that gezerah is always holding in the balance. It's not 100% iron, what's that word? Ironclad. It's not set in stone until it actually goes from Koach El Hapoel. It has to actualize. A gezerah in Shemayim can still be revoked. A good gezerah, a good haftacha, can still be revoked until it goes into action. But the moment that it comes into action, even to the smallest degree, so then that's it. It's set. And that's why the Avos went through Eretz Yisrael and did little things throughout Eretz Yisrael. Because the little things that they did were setting into motion brachos from Hashem in order to ensure that Klal Yisrael, the things that Abraham did in Eretz Yisrael, were to ensure that this land would be promised and would always be given to his children. And by him going and beginning that process, that ensured that it would happen. The Maharal, the Ramban, uses this to explain many, many things that go on in Tanakh as well. We have cases where there's a nevuah, for instance, that Babel is about to be conquered. And what does the Navi Yirmiyahu say? He says, write this nevuah on a piece of paper, wrap it around a rock, and chuck it into the river, and when it sinks to the bottom, so then Babel will sink. So what's going on there? The Maharal says, this is not nichush, this is not funny material. What's going on? What he was doing is exactly what the Ramban said. By starting the process, by taking Ashur, this paper which is symbolic of Ashur, and chucking it into the river and letting it sink to the bottom, that was bringing into this world the downfall of the enemy. And as soon as you bring it from heaven into this world and make it a reality, so then it's going to happen. And the Maharal in Ber HaGola, Ber Beis, Os Zion, says this is the pshat with the simanim. That by eating an apple and honey, by eating ruvya and karti, what we're doing is we're saying, Hashem, I know there's a gezerah and shemayim, a good haftacha, a promise that we're going to have a sweet year. So that's it. Already, Aleph, the beginning of the year, I'm having a sweet year. I start my first meal and I'm eating an apple. I'm sitting with my family. I'm eating the fruits, the vegetables. We're enjoying it. It's sweet. It's delicious. This is going to be a great year because now it's befoa. So these are three explanations suggested, the major explanations that are suggested to understand what we're doing with the simanim. And I'll end, again, just to review them very quickly, the approach that it creates an environment, obviously they're not mutually exclusive, the creating an environment of bitachon and emuna that we're going to get a great year, A. B. A hisoris l'tshuva, to remind us that even during the meal, no lashon hara, make sure we have kavanah with our brachos, that we're focused on avodas Hashem even during the meal. Important message all the time. And number three, we're trying to make the promises, the haftachos, trying to make them into a reality. And I'm going to end by sharing with you a very fascinating tshuva that was sent to Moshe Sternbach. Somebody asked him something about palm reading. Can I go to a palm reading? So he goes through a discussion of nichosh and different practices, and back and forth, this way, that way. There's a Zohar that seems to make a reference to a chachma of reading lines on hands. Could it be possible that, you know, some woman with a neon light sign outside of her door has some nesora of some chachma? He goes, literally, discusses all these issues, and in the end he says, but you know what? You don't need any of this, because there are no shortcuts. There are no secret back doors to getting into Olam Haba. Now you get in, you do tshuva, you daven.